I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who we'll talk about over the course of the show as I got you taking your phone calls at 888-808-1019. Ray's on the other side, and we'll be taking your calls until 1 o'clock when Danielle McCartan comes your way. We'll get to the Mets. A really good performance for them. A huge home run from McNeil. Three in a row. Soto with three hits, including a two-run bomb that kind of reset the tone of that game yesterday. And they're still in a mess with the pitching, but you're expecting guys to come back from injury relatively soon. But we got to start with the Yankees, because since the last time we spoke, and I, you know, did the overnight, so I took a couple days for myself, just coincided with just the disaster of the New York Yankees. And for me, this is the week where they transitioned from a team that was struggling, a team in a slump, into a downright bad baseball team. And, you know, we'll talk about it. I'm still going to be me and buck some of the trends and some of the narratives that are surrounding this team, but there's one that can't be denied. They are finding ways to lose, and that's what bad baseball teams do. I've been saying that my whole life. I believe it with everything inside me. When you find ways to lose, and that's what's happened, because it started prior to the Toronto series. They're coming off winning 2 out of 3 against the A's. Wasn't a beautiful series. They got beat up on the Saturday game, but they did score some runs. The offense looked to be waking up. They do win a series, and I don't care who it's against, they win a series. And heading into Toronto, with Toronto playing extremely well, obviously division, now they're in, you know, second, third place. But heading in, is still in first place, Toronto playing well, but an opportunity for the Yankees to go into Toronto and wake up a little bit coming off a series win. And the offense was starting to wake up, and this whole time, and this is the difference to me. The difference to me with this Yankee team over this last week was everything else was okay. Now, you know, Weaver had a couple of, when he first came back, wasn't great. Williams had been much better. But you knew the bullpen, when Cruz went down, that was going to be an issue, and you don't trust a lot of the guys. The bullpen has not been nearly been as good as you would have hoped or expected or been used to over the last handful of years. So you knew that was an issue, but it wasn't killing them. And the starting pitching was relatively, really still good throughout this stretch of losing games to the Red Sox, losing games to the Angels, going through their 5-6-game losing streak and into the rest of the way. Like, they were playing poorly offensively, completely inept offensively, couldn't move runners over, couldn't get them in from third, couldn't hit with runners in scoring position. They were inept offensively, and it cost them a losing streak that made the division a hell of a lot closer than it was. But I still felt like you could put it off on, hey, the offense is slumping. It's kind of what it is. And then they go into Toronto for 4 games. And I know yesterday was a gut-wrenching loss. And I know you have the lead and you see Dominguez come through with 2 home runs. Judge is waking up now, obviously, after the last couple games. He's back on track, hits another home run. They have the lead. Weaver in. And Jeff McNeil hits that gut-wrenching home run, and you know the game is over. And I know Met fans are probably still concerned because of the way Reed Garrett's been pitching in the state of that bullpen in the moment, but every single Yankee fan knew the minute that ball left Jeff McNeil's bat and he spun around knowing he hit a go-ahead home run, that game was over. And as sickening as that was, and we'll talk about the, you know, the positives coming up for the next 2 games and the pitching matchups, hopefully, for the New York Yankees, to me, it pales in comparison to the ass-kicking they got from the Toronto Blue Jays. A 4-game ass-kicking in every which way. The offense woke up. The starting pitching is now collapsed. We saw, obviously, Warren get lit up in the first couple innings, make it impossible. They score 9 runs. They still lose. They have that moment of Judge hitting a 2-run home run. They still lose because Williams falters. The bullpen with Williams and Weaver and Leiter, there is no one out there to trust. Not a single reliever with an ounce of trust. And while we'll discuss Boone, I'm not going to get too much into him here in the open. We'll get to him throughout the show. Like, he has nowhere to go. We can complain. We could say he shouldn't have done this, he shouldn't have that. And sometimes you'll have a point. But where the hell is Boone going? There is no one in this bullpen at the moment with an ounce of trust with a lead in a close game, not an ounce. And the starting pitching that has now lost Clark Schmidt for at least the foreseeable future and possibly for the rest of the season with forearm tightness, which we all know is a precursor to the devastated Tommy John surgery. Even Max Fried gives up the two-run bomb to a light-hitting Jimenez that cost them that game. Like, the starting pitching has started to falter as the offense wakes up. That's how you know. To me, it's no longer a slump when you see the offense struggle for a week and a half, 2 weeks. It cost them all those games. The offense wakes up. The pitching all of a sudden that has been even good throughout those losses now falls on their face. The bullpen that has been relatively okay, although not brilliant. Williams, excellent over the last 3 weeks or so. He spits the bit in a big game in a tie game. Weaver has now been, like, as good happens, bad rises. As bad falls, you know, as it starts to turn better in one area of the team, the other area comes up and bites you in the ass. This team, in that four-game set in Toronto, lost every single which way. Every single aspect of the team faltered. Every single aspect. And they got their ass kicked by Springer again. And this guy wakes up when he sees the New York Yankees, and he dominated them every which way, and it made you sick to your stomach because we're all familiar with it. And let's get real quick to what we're familiar about. Like, we'll get to the June swoon and the midseason slump and how bad they played and the trend that that has been over the last couple years. And I will tell you, and we'll get into it later, I'm concerned about it. Who wouldn't be? But I'm less concerned about it than I am the trend of playing god-awful inside the division. That upsets me and scares me more and pisses me off more than mid-season swoons on individual years, that the other trend of it is that they pick it up at the end of the year and still win the division. 2023, they were an awful roster. Totally agree. Judge went down. They had no chance. But 2022 and 2024 are the two seasons we're really talking about the swoon. Right? You can go back to 21 and 20 for all you want. Go ahead. You can't go back further than that to 19. But you want to talk about a 60-game season and a swoon? You want to talk about a 21 team? Fine. To me, it's 22 and 24. Those are the real where they got off to this incredible start. They look like a really good baseball team. We were declaring the division's over, and suddenly they go through this mid-season slump. And all of a sudden, they're in a fight for their lives in the division. But the other aspect of that is that they come through and they make the division and they win the division. And the one thing I won't do that many others will do and will get me in trouble with you, the fans, you can call me up at 888-808-1019. I won't poo-poo winning the ALDS and the ALCS in 10 games and going 8-2 on the way to the World Series and then talk about how important the June swoon was. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to tell you 3 weeks, 4 weeks in the middle of the season was more important and more telling than going to the World Series. Having said that, doesn't mean I'm not concerned about it, but we have seen them pull out of it. And it's about once they pull out of it, which this team is scaring me that they might not, which is the real problem. But once they pull out of it, you win the division, you go to the playoffs, you win the first two rounds, for example, last year, you're in the World Series. Who gives a damn about June or July? Because if they went undefeated in June or July, you wouldn't care either. So while I'm concerned about it, I'm more concerned about this particular team than I am the trend of it happening every season. I'm more concerned about this team, this current fall, the state of the team at the moment, than I am over the trend of what happens every June or July. That's just me. We can have a discussion on it. But the trend that bothers me.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The trend that is consistently bothering me is the inability to play this division. Even when teams are lousy, even when the Red Sox are down, they get their ass kicked. The Toronto Blue Jays, let me tell you something, they're frauds. They're frauds. I still believe that. They are frauds. Now, you don't become a fraud unless you make me think you're good at least a couple times a year. And this stretch here makes us think they're pretty good. They're in first place. They're frauds. Yet they allowed They had the Yankees in their building and enjoyed kicking the crap out of them, and the Yankees had no answer. When they hit, they couldn't pitch. When they pitched, they couldn't hit. When they had a lead or tied the game, the bullpen spit it up immediately. They have been so terrible against their own division. Last year, the Orioles, the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, God knows the Rays. That is a trend that bothers me so much more than random losses in the middle of the year against the Angels or even against the Mets. I'll be totally honest with you. Because you know why? Because those teams know the Yankees best. They play them all the time. They know them best. And all of the issues that we heard from the Dodgers in the World Series, all the issues that we see on a daily basis, they get exploited more against the Red Sox, stealing how many bases last year in that game? 8 bases in the game. We see the Blue Jays with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Springer taking every base they could possibly want. We see the throws in the outfield. We see all the stuff that bothers this team and keeps this team from playing good baseball throughout a clean full season. We see it more and more against their own division than we see it against anybody else. That's the trend that bothers me. The teams that know the Yankees best beat the crap out of them. That is the real problem. That is what concerns me. That's what makes me wonder about Brian Cashman and makes me wonder about Aaron Boone and makes me wonder about how the Yankees handle business. That. Not the couple of consistent bad Junes and Julys. They have a couple, like, you look at it, like, we can yell about the manager all we want, and we will. And I'm not certainly telling you he's doing a good job. He's doing a lousy job. When you play this poorly, excuse me, when you play this poorly for this long and you blow a 7-game lead in the division, I'm not giving anybody kudos. Like, don't get me mistaken. Boone has done a terrible job along with everybody else, but I watched the games. Like, who's performing? The offense went absolutely numb. Now the bullpen can't get an out. Starting pitchers are leaving with injury and getting blown up in the first inning. I don't know what we expect the manager to do necessarily, and we'll get into the comments he made and how upset everybody is about it a little bit later. But I look at this team right now, and it's no longer the slump, and I watch what they're doing, and the way they play against the division and how the team is falling apart is what's scaring me. And I talked about it on the last time I did the overnight show. Here's another thing that bothers me. I think the Jazz playing third base and DJ LeMahieu playing second base, I know there are Yankee fans out there who, if I just said Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone, could give me a list, and there are people on Twitter who are doing it. You can give me a list of all the boneheaded decisions and the Josh Donaldson trades and the, you know, doing this and doing that, and, you know, game 2 of the 2020 ALDS when they pulled the Debbie Garcia out of the game to put in Hap, and all that. And that one, by the way, is still top for me as dumb things they have ever done. But this is the most puzzling decision I have ever seen from an organization that makes a ton of puzzling decisions. Why in the world? I understood it when we headed into this time when Jazz was coming back, right? And I sold myself on the idea, well, he can play third, and if you look at his defensive numbers last year at third base, he was actually a plus defender at the position, right? Plus defender at the position last year. And this is where, and I'm going to get into it, this is why the Yankees bother me on this one. Jazz is a plus defender last season. We've gone through the numbers. They talked about it on the broadcast. He was a plus 8 in saved runs at third base, and he only played it for half the season. Like, he was excellent at third base last year. Believe it or not, he was very good. And I understood DJ LeMahieu, you know, you want to keep him at second base, that's fine. I'm okay with it. He's more comfortable at second base. His arm sucks. I don't know if he can make the throw from third. Fine, you want to put him there. Plus, the trade deadline is so damn fickle these days, and we don't know what they're going to be able to get. Yeah, they're going to, John Heyman's reporting they're targeting third baseman, sure. But who knows if a third baseman makes sense? We all know Brian Cashman's not going to make a deal unless he feels it's valuable or worth it. So maybe a second baseman is who they end up getting. Maybe a backup shortstop is who they get. And we'll get to Volpe, and God knows how bad he's been. You know, you have to be flexible. And if you get an infielder who's not comfortable moving to third, or you think is even better at second base than Jazz, whatever the case may be, you might need somebody on the roster right now who has regular reps at third base. All of that made sense to me. All of it made sense to me. I didn't love it, but it made sense to me. Even though they told Jazz the entire offseason, much like Rafael Devers, and the Red Sox that he wasn't going to play third base, that he was the starting second baseman. He never worked at third base. They told him all year long, you're the starting second baseman. He was talking about it and telling everybody who'd listen how happy he is to be the starting second baseman of the New York Yankees. So despite even that, it kind of made sense to me. Then you watch it for 3 weeks and you still do it? Like, this is where, when they're considered boneheaded, when we talk about Brian Cashman, his inability to adjust and trying to prove his decisions or, you know, justify a contract or justify a trade, and they don't do things that, you know, are obvious to us on the field. And a lot of the times, I'll even say, well, don't you want them to have conviction in their decisions? Like, should they just willy-nilly give up? They had a thought process. They went with it. Should they just give up in a week? Like, I do want people who make decisions to have convictions in those decisions on some areas. But this one is now becoming mind-numbing. There are things they can't control at the moment. We can argue about the bullpen wasn't good enough. We can argue they didn't go into the season with a legitimate third baseman. Both fair points. We could talk about a lot of the failings of this roster put together moving to start the year. Absolutely. But there isn't anything we can do. Stop talking about making trades now or the team's over. They're not making trades now. We know this. This is the team until the end of July. They have a month. But with all of their faults, all of their issues, all of their stuff, they're dealing with what they're dealing with. There are things they can control at the moment and things they can't. And intentionally hurting their infield defense, I'm sorry, it's asinine. It's my number one biggest problem that I can think of in a long time, of a problem staring you in the face and your stubbornness to fix it. It made sense last year. I understood the plan. I didn't necessarily have a problem with the plan. They were up 7 games when the plan was instituted. Jazz came back and was hitting home runs all over the place. I was fine with it. Now they've been one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in all of baseball, for the last 3-4 weeks. And it's a key issue that has literally, you could point to 3 or 4 separate games that particular issue has cost them dearly. And we're still looking at it. It makes absolutely no sense to me. And he makes a play yesterday that thankfully the Mets and Mauricio make boneheaded play on the base paths, which, again, I thought only, I guess Boone like was in the other dugout for half an inning. Well, I'm the Yankee shill. I got to throw it out there once in a while. But they make a terrible boneheaded decision on the base pass. Otherwise, there's another error from Jazz throwing an easy throw to second base. And I don't blame Jazz. I'm frustrated with him because I thought he was a better defender than this at third base, and that's what he was last year. But we've seen it enough now. This is the one move they can control and improve themselves, and they're not doing it. And it's making less and less sense to me every day. So the Yankees, to me, over this week, the things to look at aren't last year's record in June. Isn't 2 years ago record in June or 3 years ago record in June? Honestly, you want to make it about that? I'll take your calls. We could talk about it. I'm not saying it's good or that I'm happy with that trend. But to me, it is far more telling that the teams that know them best kick their ass. And the other thing about the mid-swoon June trend is they also trend to find themselves and still win divisions. And that doesn't say that it's okay to lose right now, but too many people tell me contenders don't do this. Well, they went to the World Series last year. Oh, that was easy. Okay, so the ALDS and the ALCS were easy. These games against the Angels are tough. Like, we focus on what the issue is. And we'll get to Boone, and we'll get to the organization, and we'll get to some of the things that Boone said. But right now, to me, we have seen a transition from a slumping team into a bad team that finds ways to lose and believes they're going to lose, and that's on the manager. And we are seeing a trend in those 4 games against the Toronto Blue Jays that is far more telling, far more dangerous, and far more frustrating than any other midseason swoons in years past. The division, the teams that know them best, kick the crap out of them. That's a problem. That is a major, major problem with this Yankee team. 888-808-1019. We'll take your calls on the Yankees. We will get to the Mets. I haven't had a chance to speak on the Knicks hiring Mike Brown. We'll get to that as well. Plenty to get to on this 4th of July weekend, on this Saturday morning. It looks beautiful outside. So take me with you, whatever you're doing. You're hanging out by the pool. You're driving to your, you know, your Aunt Millie's house. Whatever you're doing, keep me on. We'll have some fun. We'll try and talk through this thing as the Yankees will now turn to the next 2 days with a clear advantage in the pitching department in desperate need of a couple of wins at the expense of the New York Mets, and we'll get to them as well. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Saturday morning, taking your calls next. We'll be right back.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.